morning. Welcome to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak coming to you today from an undisclosed location. We're going to talk more about that, but let's kick things off with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
The morning offering. O Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day for all the intentions of your Sacred Heart in union with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world. In thanksgiving for your favors, in reparation for my sins, for the intentions of all my relatives and friends, and in particular, for the intentions of the Holy Father, amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, thanks so much for tuning in to Spirit in the Morning. We have got a fantastic show for you today. Coming up, our friend Tony Agnese will be here to share about giving things up for Lent. And if you've heard Tony before, you know that this is going to be a great segment. Tony is a member of the Radio and TV Hall of Fame, and he's a regular guest on Spirit in the Morning. I always love it when he comes on the show. We also have a first-time guest on our program today as well. Mary Beth Hicks will be joining us to talk about teachable moments. That's the title of one of her books. She also writes that column for Catholic Digest. A lot of us struggle with our kids and the media when they get exposed to certain things. What do? Do we just turn off the TV or ban them from the internet? Rather, maybe another solution would be to use those moments, because they're going to get exposed to some of this stuff, to teach them. That's what Mary Beth will be talking about with us today. As I mentioned, I'm not in the studio today, but let me give a shout out. Is there anybody in the studio of Holy Spirit Radio this morning?
Nobody here but us chickens.
Nobody here. That sounds like Dave Parker. Not
hey,
a chicken.
Good morning. Good morning. Hey. I had to say something. Good morning, Gary.
From your undisclosed
location, I am well. And you?
I am well. Actually, I'm doing the program from my home this morning because immediately after the show, I'll be hitting the road, heading up to Westfield, Massachusetts, where I'll be speaking tonight, and we'll do the show from Westfield. At least I'll do the show from Westfield tomorrow morning.
Yes.
And well, good
we have
morning,
someone else
Gary.
With us.
Yo. Yes, good morning.
Hey, Frank, what's going on, buddy?
You know, it's always an adventure.
Yeah.
It is. All is well at the station?
All is well.
I mean, we miss you.
It's quiet without you, though.
I bet it is. Do you guys get donuts or anything?
Celebrate. No, we're just going to go out to breakfast and
kick back a little bit, you know. So, hey, how long of a drive is it up there, you know?
I think it's about 4.5 hours
All right.
I have to speak tonight, so I'll be starting out shortly. And you know what's funny? Yesterday on the program, we had Brian Mercier on the show. He's a Catholic evangelist. He lives in Milford, Connecticut. Brian and I might meet for lunch today because I go right past where he lives.
So that'll be very nice.
So on the road, I'm going to check out. I've never met him in person. We've talked on the phone, but we've never met in person, so I'm looking forward to that. By the way, guys, I had a great time, and I want to say hello to anybody who might be listening from Holy Eucharist Parish in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. We concluded the three-day parish mission last night. Believe it or not, Dave and Frank, I didn't scare them away. I got a good crowd each of the three nights.
All right.
So the $100 bribe worked, and they came out for you again?
That's right. Yeah. Hey, okay. Frank, you got to do what you got to do. You know what I mean?
Hey, Gary.
But it was great. Yes, sir.
I would say it's illegal to lock the doors when people are in. You know, it's against the fire codes, all right? Come on. I know you didn't do that. I'm just kidding, folks. Please. Okay.
Hey, you know what was really cool, guys? I sold out of a lot of my books, especially the new one, Stop Worrying and Start Living.
Wow.
I mean, that's a good problem to have.
Yes,
but I was told by the publisher that it's in its second printing. It just came out a few weeks ago, and it's in its second printing now. So
outstanding.
I'm so thankful for that.
That is outstanding. Good for you. Wow.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. I was going to say, now, maybe when you have, if you meet for lunch, maybe you could do a YouTube, you know, a little quick YouTube, like...
YouTube. It's now Facebook Live.
Or Facebook Live.
Yeah, you know, get you up to date.
Right.
Up to speed.
Well, I'm glad I have our director of ops here looking at me.
Yes. Thank you for translating, Frank.
All right. And Barb probably thought the same thing, too. And Carolyn and Eileen. Anyways, good morning, ladies.
I had to segue. I like the idea, though, Dave. I like the way you think. That's good. We need that. Hey, by the way, guys, I was able to book a guest for next week. I'm gonna narrow it down. I'm not sure which day it's going to be. Jeff Blackwell is going to be on the show.
Nice.
Now, you guys know who he is.
Yeah.
Not everybody knows who he is, but all I'll say this right now is you hear his voice every day on Spirit in the Morning. Jeff's going to be a guest on the program. So,
at least,
and I know you're going to love.
At least twice, mate, if I remember correctly, right?
Yeah, maybe that's
three,
right.
Three.
And I think Jeff's on the program more than I am.
Okay.
So,
yes.
He adds a lot of value to the program.
Yeah, he does.
He does. And before I forget, tomorrow on the program, I just want to tease some of the guests we have coming up. We have Marge Fenelon, author and speaker. She's going to be sharing some thoughts about Lent. We have a lot of different people. Dave and Frank, I really went out of my way to try to get a lot of different individuals to share about Lent during mm-hmm. Lent. And we're getting a lot of great ideas because mm-hmm. of this.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are. Hey, can I go back to Jeff for a second?
No, yeah. You can't, Dave.
Well, excuse me, but when I'm at home, I like it so yeah. much, and I say to Barbara, I mean, I just started doing that, what he does, and I'm trying right. to mimic, I'm trying to imitate his voice, but it's hard to do.
Oh, I think the day he's on, though, I think we have to have my girls do his voice.
Okay.
And that's what I was thinking. And by the way, if you're wondering, Jeff Blackwell is the gentleman who does the Spirit in the Morning promos. You
yeah,
hear
yeah,
him
yeah.
throughout the show.
But he's more
so,
than
yeah,
that,
So, yeah, Frank,
too.
That would be yeah. great. Jeff would get a kick out of that.
Yeah, but I just thought I'd throw that in. And Barb looks at me like, okay, Dave, what are you doing? Spirit yeah. in the morning, you know,
that,
whatever.
That's right.
I'm not doing him justice. I'll stop. Okay.
But Dave Parker, you've got your own unique voice, too. You're an important part of this show as well.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Sometimes.
Okay. And you are hey, too, brother, and so is Frank.
Well, thank you. Thank
we make
you.
A very
that.
Good team, you know.
We do. All three of us get along.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Most
right?
Speak for yourself.
Hey, also on the program tomorrow, Jim Littleton. This is a guy that I got to know several years ago. He's got such an amazing story. He wrote a book called Healed Through Cancer.
Mm.
He was diagnosed with leukemia several years ago. He was going to die. Everybody thought he was going to die. He had an incredible conversion during that process, and he is completely healed now, and it's just an incredible story. So he's going to come on the show and talk about that tomorrow. Also, somebody we met, this will be on Friday, at Man Up Philly, Ed Lawrence. Frank, you introduced me to Ed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he really was. He was a high school teacher. He recently retired at my high school, Archbishop Ryan High School.
Mm-hmm.
And he created a website. This is incredible, prayersunitetheworld.org. Ed's going to come on the show and talk about this. This is an unbelievable undertaking. We talk about being positive on this show all the time. That's what we try to do. Here's a guy who's literally changing the world by offering, by accepting prayer requests and dispatching them to monasteries or religious orders around
wow.
the world. You can have people pray for you all the time. That's unbelievable.
That is so awesome and powerful. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And then also on Friday, Dan Burke. Just confirmed that he'll be joining us for mm-hmm. our Into the Deep segment. So mm-hmm. we've got a lot lined up for you for the remainder of the week.
Hey.
So make sure you stay tuned. Guys, I think it's time for the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Let me read today's gospel. This gospel is so important, I actually tried to read it yesterday on the program before I realized it wasn't Wednesday yesterday.
You were so excited.
So now, yeah, I was.
Yeah.
So now here's the gospel from Daily Mass for Wednesday of the first week of Lent. It comes from Luke chapter 11. Verses 29 through 32. While still more people gathered in the crowd, Jesus said to them, "This generation is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah. Just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. At the judgment, the Queen of the South will rise with the men of this generation, and she will condemn them. Because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and there is something greater than Solomon here. At the judgment, the men of Nineveh will arise with this generation and condemn it, because at the preaching of Jonah they repented, and there is something greater than Jonah here." Gentlemen, that is a powerful message. It's a challenging and powerful message from Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know the first recorded words of Christ in the Gospel of Mark are, "Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." That's the message of Lent. And what the Lord is saying here is, hey, everybody, listen up. Mm-hmm. Now's the time. We're sinners. We need to repent. And he's saying to follow him. That's the message of Lent.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Absolutely. And so powerful. So powerful. I mean, what can we say? It speaks for itself.
The problem, Dave, with us many times is that we don't like to admit that we're sinners because it doesn't sound good. You know, that guy's a sinner, that guy's a sinner. The man who doesn't go to church, he's a sinner. Mm-hmm. This person curses all the time, cheats on his wife. Oh, he's a sinner, but not me. Mm-hmm. I go to church. Well, if you've ever heard Pope Francis talk and every one of our holy fathers, they always admit, I'm a sinner.
Yeah, pointing fingers is easier than it is to actually that self-realization as to, you know, that we're sinners too. We are all sinners.
It's very pharisaical, you know? I mean, hey, don't look at me. Look at me. You know, I'm good. I'm perfect. But
you've been
those
your
other guys.
Dictionaries.
Oh, right. Yeah. right after I got here, I looked it up, folks. Anyway.
It's early.
Boy,
in the morning.
Dave, you're a lot smarter than you look.
I know, thank you.
That's amazing. I can say that because you can't do anything to me because I'm not in the studio right now. I'm not afraid.
Well, they finally allowed me to roll. They rolled me out, you know. They let me on the radio for a little bit. Okay.
Yeah, anyways. but guys, seriously, it's really easy.
I am
what
serious.
Frank said is so true. It's very easy to point fingers and to compare ourselves. We always find those people who are really who are a lot. Who are much greater sinners than we are. You know, the criminals. I'm better than that guy who's locked up for murder. I'm better than this person who cheated on his income taxes. But really, we should be comparing ourselves to Christ. And when we do that, things look a lot different, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Everything pales when we do that. I mean, it really puts us in perspective when Jesus is our true model and we really want to live by what he says, by the Ten Commandments, the Beatitudes, follow him.
That's
Everything else should pale. Everything in the world.
And that's why we're doing the Best Lent Ever segments on Spirit in the Morning, which, by the way, Dynamic Catholic checked in with me yesterday to see how things are going, and I said it's fantastic. We love doing this. We're the only radio station doing these messages on the show. I thought it was important. Let's hear what Matthew Kelly has to say. Because he really gets to the point and he really wants to help us make this our best Lent ever. And it's still not too late. Even if you've done nothing for Lent, it's not too late to start.
Okay. Gare, I don't know if you hear the music, but we're going
to break.
I hear my music.
So I'm going on break right now. We're all going on break. Let's grab some coffee. When we come back, Tony Agnese is going to talk about Lent. Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for March 8th. Today we celebrate Saint John of God. Peace of heart came slowly to today's saint, who was 40 before he acknowledged the depth of his sinful life, especially as a soldier. Even after he resolved to spend the rest of his life serving God, John struggled. He hoped for martyrdom in Africa, until his confessor advised him that his desire was not spiritually well-based. Sometime later, a sermon by St. John of Avila so moved him that he publicly beat himself. John was committed to a mental hospital, where John of Avila visited him and advised him to focus on doing good for others rather than punishing himself. After leaving the hospital, John began to work among the poor of Spain. He established a house for the sick poor. People who had once dismissed him as a lunatic were touched and inspired by his love and devotion. Many supported his work with money and provisions, including a local bishop who began calling him John of God. In time, both his work and his interior prayer life attracted men who wished to work with him. A new religious congregation of men devoted to hospital ministry was formed 20 years after John's death in 1550. He was canonized 140 years later. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
We used to hide from the light. We made friends with the night. We were headed the wrong way on a one-way track. Going nowhere fast. We got used to the dark. We thought, this is who we are. And we figured that we were just too far gone. But we were wrong. 'Cause love came running like a river. And we got washed in the water. never change what he did that day. When love can run like a river, we got washed in the water. It's when he said you're forgiven and you belong. That was then, this is now. You're bought by the blood, saved by the sun. The saints all sing about. That was lost, this is found. And it's time to say goodbye to the old you now. So go ahead, put the past in the past, box it up like an old photograph.
Was then, this is now. That was Josh Wilson. You're listening to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. Boy, that song just got me going. So great to be with you here today on the program. Tony Agnese is a Catholic storyteller, and he's an author. He's a blogger. He is on fire, and absolutely he is. He is on fire with his Catholic faith. He's a member of the Radio and TV Hall of Fame. He's a frequent guest on Catholic radio. He writes for many different publications. He's a blogger. He's a podcaster. You can find him online at TonyAgnese.com. He's here with us today. He's a regular on the program. I always love it when Tony stops by to talk about Lent. Tony, are you there, brother?
I sure am, Gary. Greetings from Naples, Florida. We're here. I just finished some editing yesterday. I just finished editing my book that we're hoping going to get out here sometime in the fall. So it was kind of a hurrah day. We got a big fire down here, 7,000 acres on fire, and it's near here. We got a big plume of smoke right over the house here most of the day yesterday and into the night. So some prayers for the folks here in Southwest Florida. It's awful close to a lot of folks who have had to have been evacuated. So that's going on here.
I wanted to talk a little bit
about, obviously, you're doing this thing on Lent, which is really cool. I mean, you're the only program that I know that is kind of really zeroing in on Lent. But I want to tell a little story to start it out. So we were at Mass Ash Wednesday, and the priest, before his homily began, said, you know, I've had a lot of phone calls this week, people asking me, how old do you have to be when you don't have to fast anymore? And he said, as he looked out into the crowd at this particular retirement parish, he says, well, 99% of you don't have to fast anymore because it's 59. And then he said, now you still have to abstain from meat on Ash Wednesday and the Fridays of Lent and so forth. So if you're going to the Turtle Club tonight, don't get the New York Strip. So my wife and I just happened to be going to the Turtle Club that night, and we sat down, and the waiter was at a table with an elderly couple next to us, and the guy went to order, and he said, I'll have the New York Strip. And his wife said, oh, no, remember what Father said, we have to abstain from meat today. So he said, okay, well, then I'll have the 3-pound lobster. Now, you see, the point is, it's funny because I want to declare, Gary, on your show, shenanigans on eating fish on Friday. We went out last week. Do you know what a good piece of blackened grouper costs? I mean, you're talking $35 to $40 for a piece of fish. I don't know that there's a whole lot of abstaining from meat in that. I think if I abstained from fish the entire time of Lent, I could probably donate the money and buy an orphanage. So we've got to.
That's true, Tony.
we've got to understand what Lent is about. And it's not about these rules. It's not about, well, if you're under 59, you have one big meal, two little. When you have one big meal and two little meals, it really is dependent upon how big that big meal is. Yeah. And then it tells you how those two little meals are. If the two little meals are the size of a normal big meal, and your big meal is a Whopper, that's really not about what Lent is about either. Pope Francis a year ago said that your fasting, the consequences of your fasting should be to benefit someone else. So whatever we do should not only just be, well, I'm not going to drink soda pop on during Lent, or I'm giving up candy bars or something. But it should be something that helps someone else. You know, I'm gonna give up my smartphone in the evening. I'm gonna plug it in and put it on the counter, and then I'm gonna spend more quality time with my family. That's a nice thing to say. Or I'm gonna give up Facebook, and instead, I'm going to take that time to read a devotional or say a rosary or play the Stations of the Cross. Now giving up Facebook makes sense, right? It isn't just that I'm giving up Facebook, but I'm doing something to benefit. I'm going to give up that double mocha latte, and then I'm going to donate that $7 or whatever that costs to charity. Most of us give up the exact same thing every year. You know, when I was a kid, I used to give up broccoli and asparagus. Now, the reason is I hated broccoli and asparagus, so it wasn't much, of a give up. Or I would give up watermelon. You know, well, it's out of season, so again, you just missed the point of the thing. So the point I wanted to make was very simply that if your fasting and abstaining is helping someone else, if it's making your relationship with your family better, spending more time with your kids, if it makes your prayer life better because you take that time that you would be spending on Facebook and read a good devotional or read a book or say a rosary, then your fast and abstinence has meaning. And I think then you're really catching the spirit of what fasting and abstaining and prayer and almsgiving are all about. That's going to put you in the right frame of reference to have a really good Lent.
Tony, I was laughing as you were saying some of those things. I was laughing because I can relate. I've done all that. And for years, I would give up sweets. And invariably, as Lent would progress, I wasn't focused on why I was doing it. I kind of forgot about the Lord, and all I was thinking, I was counting down, in three more weeks I can have cake. And you can easily lose the point. So I'm really glad you're talking about this, talking about these meaningful sacrifices. And let me ask you, brother, do you think sometimes we overextend ourselves during Lent? We try to give up something that ends up we feel defeated because we can't follow through. Do you think maybe sometimes we should set smaller and more realistic goals during Lent?
Absolutely. That's a great point, Gary. I think we do the same thing with New Year's resolutions. You know, we set a resolution that's not attainable, and then 3 days into the new year, we fail, and then we consider it a failure, and we just move on and do whatever we did. Yeah, I think the same thing is true. If we pick something, it doesn't have to be large, but it has to remind us when we do it of the meaning of Lent and what we're doing. It doesn't, you know, if we, you know, and then to concentrate, your thing about sweets was my thing about candy. You know, you couldn't wait, gosh, I got 27 more days of Lent and I can have some licorice Twizzlers, you know.
Yes.
No, that's not the attitude we should have. There, one other thing I want to leave everybody with is something that you can try this year, and that is, whenever you go to Mass during Lent, I want you to think of leaving something at the foot of the cross, leaving something as the altar. As you approach the altar to receive communion, I want you to leave something there. If you've been worried about that promotion, you didn't get a job at work, and it's bugging the heck out of you, leave that at the altar. If you've got a friend that's suffering from cancer and was just diagnosed with cancer, leave that at the altar. The anger and resentment, leave it at the altar. This is something we can do every single day. That fear of losing a loved one, leave it at the altar. The anger of being wrongfully accused, leave it at the altar. The resentment of being passed over a promotion at work, leave it at the altar. The pain that makes even getting out of bed difficult, leave that at the altar. Think of the things in your life that you need to leave at the altar, and then let it happen, give it to God, and move on with your life. I'll tell you what, if you try it, I challenge everybody listening, if you try it, here the next few Sundays between now and Easter, leave something every week at the altar. Leave some negative baggage there. Put it at the foot of the cross and let Jesus take it.
Oh, that's great advice, Tony. I love having you on because you are so practical. I love this practical advice that you give us because so many times we get caught up in the rules and regulations and we lose sight of why we're doing what we're doing. And during Lent, that is a very real challenge that we all face. We can all fall into that trap. And I thank you for coming on and sharing with us some practical advice for making this our best Lent ever. Tony, best place to find you online?
Hey, just TonyAgnese.com or at Tony Agnese in any of the social media sites.
And I highly recommend that everyone listening follow Tony. You are going to be in for a treat. Tony, how long are you going to be in Florida?
We're here for the till the 25th of March. And then,
okay.
Then back. So we'll be doing, actually, I'll be on with you again in April, but we'll be doing that from California. So,
oh, wow. Well, just so you know.
You're traveling all over the place.
Yeah, you know, I was going to tell you, I'm headed down to Fort Myers next week to lead a parish mission. So we'll be relatively close to one another.
There looks like there might be a lunch in our future.
I'm always up for lunch. The guys at the station will tell you. You mentioned food, and Gary's there, no doubt.
Absolutely true. Okay.
Thanks, Dave Parker.
You're welcome, Gary. All right.
Tony Agnese, as always, it's been a pleasure, brother. God bless you. Have a blessed Lent, my friend.
God bless you. You too, Gary. You guys, Dave, Frank, all you guys, a great Lent for all of you. God bless you all.
Thanks, Tony.
Likewise,
that's
Tony.
Tony Agnese, you can follow him online at TonyAgnese.com. Boy, every time he comes on the show, he gives me something to think about. Really, take it seriously. Follow Tony. Listen to his podcast. He's won awards for his podcast. He really is an amazing broadcaster and writer. TonyAgnese.com is the place to go. When we come back from the break, we're going to be chatting with Mary Beth Hicks about teachable moments. The media, yes, there are a lot of negative things, and we have to be careful about our children, what they are exposed to. But Mary Beth is going to teach us how we can make these moments teachable moments so that our children can learn from them. Right now, the time is 7:28. We'll be right back.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. House Republican leaders are forging ahead with a health care plan that scraps major parts of the Obama-era overhaul. The House Ways and Means Committee and the Energy and Commerce Committee are meeting today in what are likely to be marathon sessions to start voting on the legislation. But conservative Republicans are threatening to sink the bill, saying it's too close to President Obama's health care overhaul. The organizers of January's Women's March have organized today's A Day Without a Woman. Women are being encouraged today to not spend money and to take the day off work in an effort to show their economic strength and impact on American society. There are reports that public schools are closed for fear of a lack of teachers. Thousands turned out in January for the nationwide marches held the day after President Trump's inauguration. But Kristen Hawkins of Students for Life of America has written in the Washington Examiner today, quote, "The Women's March is faltering. Their focus is on what is dividing the nation and on what divides women, not what unites them. By purposely excluding pro-life women from the Women's March and making Planned Parenthood a prime sponsor, the trajectory was set. A whole swath of women who may have wanted to be involved and supportive of initially worthy goals were set aside for the goals of the abortion lobby," end quote. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Holly Hill Health Foods, a family-owned business for over 25 years at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, PA. They offer a large selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, formulas, and three nutritionists to serve you. Call them at 215-361-7770 or visit their website at www.hollyhillhealth.com.
You are listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. After seeing the destruction wrought by Hurricane Sandy on TV, 5-year-old Iowa native Connor Andres told his mother, "Mom, they need our help." That's when Terry Andres contacted Shelley Tagles, the director of his preschool, Our Lady's Little Learners. Together, they started the Little Hands, Big Hearts Foundation, which collected money from the preschool. Their efforts amounted to a check totaling over $4,000, which was sent to hard-hit Resurrection School and Parish in Jersey City. Sister Eleanor Yule, principal of Resurrection School, told the Catholic Advocate that her students are still talking about what took place in Iowa. She said it touched their hearts. It made those who took part realize how blessed they are. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
By Britt Nicole. I'm Gary Zimak, and you are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Thanks so much for joining us. Currently at the Philadelphia International Airport, it is 52 degrees. Today, we're going to have a slight chance of showers, then gradually clearing with a high near 63. Tonight, clear with a low around 43. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 58. Mary Beth Hicks is an author. She's a columnist. She's a speaker. And she's here today to join us to talk about her book, Teachable Moments, Using Everyday Encounters with Media and Culture to Instill Conscience, Character, and Faith in Our Children. Mary Beth, welcome to Spirit in the Morning.
Thank you. Good morning. It's great to be with you.
Thanks so much for joining us. This is such a real problem. As a father, I have a concern about my children. How much does culture influence them? And I think sometimes our tendency as parents is to say, that's it. No TV, or we turn the commercials off, or you can't look at this, you can't look at that. Sometimes, though, it's unavoidable. How do we deal with that, Mary Beth?
Yeah, so, it's a very universal concern on the part of parents who are trying very hard to instill, you know, a set of values, a set of beliefs, and a moral compass, and all the things that we know our kids need in order to develop good character and have a safe life and be ready to be responsible adults. But the culture really wants to take them in a different direction, and so we really have to be on the alert. So the premise of the book is to kind of borrow from the habit of teachers to look for those teachable moments, something that maybe is not on the curriculum, had been really planned for, but if it comes up, it gives you this opportunity to take a conversation in a different direction. And that's really what I'm encouraging parents to do, is to be very, very intentional, to be on the lookout for times when the culture presents opportunities not to hijack your kids, but for you to then kind of pivot and turn it on its head and use what might be corrupting of innocence, or what might be, you know, really sending the wrong signal to kids, to make that the basis for a conversation in which you can really give context, correct the things that they see, that, you know, make sure that they understand, at least that they understand your point of view, even if as they get older, they might not always agree with you. So those are sort of the premise behind it. I think we have a crisis of character in this country among our children when we read stories and see, you know, trends in some of the research about the ethics and character of our children's generation. It's disheartening to see how many kids really don't have a moral compass. They don't really think that there's anything as absolute truth. They don't think that there's always anything that's always morally wrong and something that's always right. And they kind of base some of their moral behavior on the feelings of others. So something is wrong if it makes somebody else feel bad. But it's good if it doesn't make anybody else feel bad and you don't mind, you know. And so they don't understand that feelings are always a moving target, and that's not really a way to build character. So all these things are sort of at the basis of the theory behind the book. And then Teachable Moments, I literally offer questions and answers. I found, as I've traveled the country speaking to parents, that one of the things, I'll talk kind of about a theme or an idea, and then I get a parent raise their hand and say, but what exactly would you say to your kid? And then I realized parents need some scripting, and so I've offered up some opportunities to kind of practice in your head what you might say when you have the opportunity to really respond to kids.
And that's very helpful, and that's the kind of advice that that parents such as myself were looking for, because my wife and I struggle with this. Mary Beth, what would you say in terms of the media and limiting exposure to the media? What do we do? When do we say, okay, that's it, you're not going to look at this, you're not going to look at that, or when do we let go? That's challenging. How do we know?
Yeah, well, first of all, there's an issue of both the time, the quantity of media that's coming in, and then the content. Right. So you have to watch both things. The Kaiser Family Foundation has been documenting for years the amount of time that kids spend with media and what they call Generation Media. And kids between the ages of like 10 and 18, they spend 7.5 hours a day on media now already, engaged with some sort of media, whether it's having a phone in their hand or being in a classroom where they use media for teaching, or, sitting there with headphones on while they're doing homework on a computer. And they are just bombarded all the time. So the first thing is to really try and get a handle on the time. And I think that parents need to be kind of brave, because you'll get resistance, you know, at first, certainly. But to recognize that it has to be one component of a healthy lifestyle. And I think we've let the media, the use of media, especially because of smartphones, take too much of our time. And simply just for the fact, like, if kids are constantly playing games on a phone or games on a gaming system, and they're not playing outside, you know, they're not riding a bike, they're not playing with friends, and so we need to make sure that they have a good balance in their life, because any, you know, every life should be, should have balance in it. And so for some of us, that's going to be a challenge because we don't actually do it ourselves, right? So we have to be really careful that we don't just preach this one lesson and then not demonstrate it by occasionally leaving our phone in the house and taking a walk, right? But then the content is really a big issue, and it's what everybody's concerned about. I got a letter the other day from a parent who heard me speak about a year ago, and she wanted to know my opinion of the new Disney movie that is coming out that is apparently going to have an overtly homosexual relationship kind of woven throughout through a comedy character, a sidekick, you know, who's it's the live-action version of Beauty and the Beast, and the sidekick is going to actually be struggling with his sexuality because sometimes he wants to be Beast's best friend and other times he's in love with the Beast. And she said, how am I supposed to deal with this? And, you know, I think her, smartly, she was getting ready before this film even comes out to prepare herself, because she knows her kids are either going to be exposed to this, or they're going to see it, or they're going to want to see it, or their friends are going to see it. And so what should her answer be? How should she respond? And so I think that, you know, that's the sort of thing, instead of just saying, no, that's not for us, I think it's that, I think the parents, that used to be my approach, but now I think it's kind of naive. I don't think we can necessarily get away with that anymore. I don't think it's possible to really shield them from all that's there, because it's so ubiquitous. You take your kid into a shopping mall and there's a TV in every store that's got, you know, screens on and music videos or whatever, movies that they're showing in, you know, at the Sears. Mm-hmm. You can't avoid it. So I think the answer is to be ready with responses, to be ready to ask questions of your kids, to say, what do you think of that? You just saw that music video. I thought it was kind of disrespectful to women. What do you think of that? You know, and really get conversations going so that you have the opportunity to have influence, because that's the big difference. Not that they would see it or not see it, but that if they see it, who's influencing what they take from? And that needs to be mom and dad.
We would all agree, and we hear this a lot, that there is a lot of garbage contained in the media. But I would say that the media in and of itself is really morally neutral. It can be used for bad, but it can also be used for good. After all, we're broadcasting a Catholic program here. We have many, many Catholic stations. People use Facebook for evangelization. The media can be used for good, too, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And all forms of media, that is just a fact of our kids' lives. Those of us who, you know, who remember when Facebook was like, what, Facebook? You know, I remember getting Twitter, you know, almost at the beginning of Twitter. And I had it for a while before I had any concept of what it really was. I didn't even understand it. You know, I just knew somebody told me, you know, if you were an author and you were doing speaking, he said you had to have Twitter. And I'm like, okay, I don't even know why would I do that, but okay. And, you know, my kids now, you know, all of this stuff is just second nature. And Facebook is like having a listing in the Yellow Pages. I mean, Facebook for the kids' generation, I mean, you know, ever since their mothers and grandmothers and aunties took over Facebook, you know, that Facebook is just, everybody has a Facebook. It's like a social security number. So these are things that are just a fact of their lives. And so everything from Snapchat to Instagram and Tumblr and all these things, if we parents have to know what they all are, and we have to help our kids to use what's out there with good judgment and to be discerning and to have great habits around it so that it doesn't overtake their lives. I mean, or you end up being someone like me who gave up social media for Lent. It starts to throat, you know, you realize telling your family, I'll get dinner going in just a little bit because real quick you need to check Facebook again. You know, now it's too much. I'm not saying that's ever happened in my house, but, you know, I mean, we have to realize that we have to be the ones to help lead our children into this media landscape in a way that's safe and productive and healthy. And as you say, some of it can be great. Some of it, what's out there, is terrific. I discovered a podcast the other day that will say the rosary with you. So I said the rosary while I was folding laundry, and I didn't have to have the rosary in my hand. It was great. But so that's all out there. It's terrific.
Right.
But we have to also be recognizing that Satan has used the media to amazing impact, you know, and we have to be really careful and really prepared. And that's kind of the theme around Peaceful Moments, to be prepared.
And that the reminder is for all of us as parents is we need to do our job. We need to be involved. We can't just bury our heads in the sand. We have to get involved. We have to know what our kids are doing, and we can use even the negativity that they encounter in culture as a teachable moment. The book is Teachable Moments by Mary Beth Hicks. Mary Beth, where's the best place to pick up the book, to follow you online, or maybe invite you to speak?
Yeah, absolutely. I wish people would visit me at marybethhicks.com. It's just my full name. And the book is, of course, available on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, any place where you buy books, and can be ordered, of course, in your favorite bookstore, Catholic bookstore. But, yeah, I hope people will visit. And, you know, I do speak all over and can really bring a program called Teachable Moments Live. So we bring the book to you and can be really a great, invigorating evening for parents who need kind of a boost.
That sounds great. Mary Beth, thanks so much for joining us. We're going to have your information linked at spiritinthemorning.com. Thank you again. God bless you.
You're welcome. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Mary Beth Hicks. You can find her online at marybethhicks.com. Teachable moments. For those of us who are parents, that guidance is very valuable. Speaking of very valuable, we're going to be hearing from our friend Matthew Kelly. And then when we come back, it's time for the Be Not Afraid Bible Verse. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
This is the audio from today's Dynamic Catholic's Best Lent Ever Daily Reflection featuring Matthew Kelly.
One of the things that I'm amazed at in our culture today, and I suppose it's always been there to some extent, is the things that God gets blamed for. People will say to me, well, I don't go to church anymore because my brother died. Or I don't go to church anymore because I saw this situation in Haiti and I thought, how could a God ever, you know, let that happen? Or I don't go to church anymore, or I don't believe in God anymore because of this or that or the other thing. It's astounding the things that God gets blamed for. And every time I hear about these things, what I realize is that the God that these people believe in or don't believe in is vastly different to the God that I have experienced and the God that I believe in. And so I think it is really, really important at times to step back and take another look at our image of God. How do we see God? You know, what is God really like? What are the qualities of God that loom largest in your heart, in your mind, in your life? Because the way we see God has an enormous influence on our spirituality. It has an enormous influence on the way we relate with other people. And it has an enormous influence on our lives. How do you see God? One of the things I'd really encourage you to do today is sit down and just write down a list of God's qualities. You know, what are the qualities of God that affect your image of God the most? How do you see God? How do you experience God? How have you experienced God at different times in your life? How have you seen God at different times in your life? I think it's a good exercise to sit down and say, okay, what was my image of God when I was 5 years old? What was my image of God when I was 15 years old? What was my image of God at different times in my life? How has my image of God evolved or not? Because sometimes it doesn't. And if we really take this exercise seriously, we will realize that. For better or for worse, sometimes we are hanging on to an image of God that we developed as a child or as a teenager, and that image of God is misaligned with reality. And so I do think it's very, very powerful, very, very valuable for us to step back from time to time and reassess our image of God, reassess how do we see God, how do we experience God. The reason, or one of the reasons, is because the whole idea of Christian spirituality surrounds four words. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. And if you think God's a tyrant, you're certainly not going to carry out his work here on earth. If you think God's a dictator, you're certainly not going to further his will by doing his will in your own place, in your own time. In order for us really to live out our Christianity, in order for us to be able to surrender to that idea of thy will be done, but surrender in a really active way, not, oh, okay, I give up, but, oh, okay, I get it, I'll surrender to that and I will proactively, with all my effort and energy and intention, go out and try and bring about this will. In order for that, we have to have a really strong and positive image of God. And that really strong and positive image of God, even if you've had it, even if you have it, is constantly being challenged by many voices and influences in this world. Thy will be done.
That was Matthew Kelly with Dynamic Catholic's Best Lent Ever Daily Reflection. You can experience your best Lent ever by signing up for Dynamic Catholic's free video-based program by going to bestlentever.com.
More enjoyable than Scrapple. Spirit. Spirit. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Lay down your shame.
before the morning. Oh, sinner, be still. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. Oh, I'm broken. Lift up your face. Oh, wonder and come home. You're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart. Come as you are.
And that was Come As You Are by Crowder. I'm Gary Zimek. You're listening to Spirit in the Morning. You know the message of that song. We were talking about that earlier. Do you need to be perfect to follow Jesus? No, we're all sinners. Come as you are. Follow him. That's his message. I want to do the Be Not Afraid Bible verse now. It comes from 1 John 5:14. And we have this confidence in him that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If you're praying, don't think that the Lord doesn't hear you. He hears you. He knows what you are saying. He also knows what you need, so you don't get everything that you ask for. That's a good thing, because if we got everything that we asked for, if it was bad for us, it would be bad. The Lord loves you. He knows what you need, but keep asking for whatever you need. Just accept his will for your life. We are coming to the end of the program. What a great show today. Dave, Frank, thanks so much for hanging out in the studio, joining me.
Thank you, Gare. And Frank's giving a thumbs up. He just left,
all
left
right.
the room, okay?
Oh, he's allowed to do that.
Yes, he is.
He's allowed to do that. As soon as I'm done the show, I'm going to be headed up the road, to Westfield, Massachusetts. We're going to be doing the show live from Massachusetts tonight. I'll be speaking as part of the Lenten Speaker Series this evening. And I look forward to being there. And Friday I'll be back in town. Then I head out to Florida. Mm-hmm. Let's close the program with prayer, as we do each day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Look kindly, Lord, we pray, on the devotion of your people, that those who are by self-denial are restrained in body may by the fruit of good works be renewed in mind. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
I want to thank Mary Beth Hicks and Tony Agnese for joining us on the program today. Remember, you can follow us online at spiritinthemorning.com. Tomorrow on this show, Jim Littleton, Marge Fenelon, make sure you tune in. I'm Gary Zimak. Remember, wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord's with you. Turn around and say hi. Talk to you next time.
Be safe, Gary.
Thanks, brother.